Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein with a responsum a day for the 20th of Sivan. Today's responsum for the 20th of Sivan is Rav Uziel discussing the question of doing business with prohibited items. That is, he was asked the question on the 20th of Sivan in Tuf Reish Tzadi Hei, which is 1935. So there was a certain Jew who used to buy all of the intestines, I think leftover materials from a slaughterhouse. So some of them were from kosher animals and some of them were from non-kosher animals, meaning they would have a bunch, they would slaughter a bunch of animals in the slaughterhouse. The actual meat they would send off for whatever they would do with the actual meat, for steaks, for what people do with meat. And then you had these intestines of the animals, and some of the animals had been found kosher, and some of the animals, something went wrong in the shechita, they were trefos, and he was going to make hot dogs from the kosher animals with the, with this stuff, and he was going to make and then he was going to sell the non-kosher material, the trefos, to a non-Jew who was going to make hot dogs with this. Now, we will find out at the end of the tshuva, but I'll tell you now, so it's not holding it in abeyance. It's not like, you know, one of those whodunits where I keep out the crucial piece of evidence for the end. So it's not that they're going to make the actual hot dogs, the material that people eat from these things, they're going to dry out these intestines. So it might be that it's not like actual meat, it's like the intestine material that you'll dry out, and that will then become the cover for the hot dogs, and it's stuff that people won't eat. They will peel it off before they eat it, so that'll be a somewhat relevant consideration. But the question is this Jew allowed to do this? Because is he not, after all, doing business with items that are prohibited? So that's the question that comes to Rav Uziel. And his answer is going to spend a lot of time on that original question of what is the status of prohibited items in terms of doing business with them. He points out, his starting point is a Mishnah in Shivit, in the 7th chapter, in Mishnah 6, where the Mishnah says, Eino sin schora, we are not allowed to do business, Jews are not allowed to do business, beperot Shivit, with Shemitah, fruit, right, produce from Shemitah, which is hefker, and you're not allowed to do business with it. But then it goes on to, velo benevelot utrefot, and not with animals that died without a proper shechita, that's a nevela, or a trefot, which are animals that were physically wounded in their lifetime, such that they could not have lived from that wound. It was a mortal wound, although it can take up to a year in the Gemara's understanding of trefot. But basically that a physical wound occurred to the animal that rendered the animal no longer able, and that from that point on could not be shechted. You can't slaughter that animal, make it kosher. That's a trefa. So the Mishnah says you can't do business in them. And you can't do it with vermin and lice and things like that that are the creepy, crawly kinds of terrible things that we're not allowed to eat. We're not allowed to do business with them either. That's the Mishnah. The Torah Kohanim, the Midrash Halacha on Vayikra, derives it from the fact that when it comes to dagim tmeim, to non-kosher fish, the Torah says sheketu, that it should be thought of as a sheketz, which we commonly translate as an abomination or something that we should turn away from. But then it adds, v'sheketz yulachem. And that doubling of it, the Torah Kohanim says, teaches us that we can't do business with them either. So it's not only that they are prohibited, it's that we can't do business with them. And we assume that to be, it seems to be, and we're going to talk about this more, but we assume that to mean not only about non-kosher fish, but about anything that we're not allowed to eat ourselves. If it's usher for us, if it's prohibited to us, we're also not allowed to do business in it. And by business in it, we don't mean selling it to Jews. That's a different kind of a problem. We mean even selling it to non-Jews. That from the fact that it is prohibited for us to eat it, the Torah Kohanim is telling us, the Torah was telling us, it seems like the Torah was telling us, that we're also not to do business with it. The Yerushalmi, Tishvi'it, has another derivation, a similar one, where it says, Tmeim heim utmeim yulachem. It says, you should think of them as tamei, as impure to you, and then it adds, utmeim yulachem. And again, that doubling, the Yerushalmi says, is echad isur achila, and one, and echad asur hana'ah, that there's a prohibition to eat, and then a prohibition to get benefit. Kol davar sheisur mena Torah, asur lasor poskora. It doesn't really mean fully can't get any benefit from it, because that's not true. For that, you need a separate isur hana'ah, but it means you can't do business with it. That's the way the Yerushalmi has it. But there's one more Mishnah that's relevant to this, where it says that Sayadei Chayav Ofot V'Dagim, that hunters or fishermen, right, people who hunt birds, who hunt animals, who fish, Shinizdamnu Lahem Minim Tmeim, who in the course of their hunting, so let's say a hunter lays out traps, and the intention of the traps is to catch a kosher animal and then shecht it, but they catch instead a non-kosher animal, or they shoot down a bunch of birds, and most of the birds, or they capture a bunch of birds and the net. And most of the birds they capture in the net are kosher, or some of the birds are kosher, and they by accident catch some non-kosher ones as well. And the same thing with fishing. So this Mishnah says, Mutarim lemochram lenochri, you can sell them to a non-Jew. So it sounds like you can do business with them. So the Gemara says, Shani hatam, da'amar kra lachem. The Torah had said, sheketz yiyu lachem, and it doubled the reference to them as being prohibited and not relevant and something we should distance ourselves from. It doubled it. It said, sheketz hu, and then it sheketz yiyu lachem, or tme'im heim lachem, utme'im yiyu lachem, right? So that doubling is what created the seeming prohibition of business. So in there, the Gemara says that was about us, Damakra Lachem, and therefore Lachachila Nami Shani Hacha Demarkra Yu Bihavayatam Yu, that we have the right to, if we just stumble across them, then we have the right to sell them. So, in other words, a hunter who makes a living off of hunting, and therefore, it would be a very large burden on this person to have to get rid of all the non-kosher ones that they come across. We are assuming that a prohibition doesn't apply. We'll come to it in a little bit, but that's sort of relevant to that question, is whether we think this is a prohibition d'oraita or d'rabanan. There's going to be a little bit of discussion about that in the Tshuva of Rav Uziel, that for all that we're quoting verses, sometimes when verses are quoted, we don't end up assuming that it means to establish a Torah prohibition. We assume that the verse is just some kind of an aid of various sorts. It depends on how you understand the word asmachta, krasmachta ba'alma, and we say that the pasuk is a help. What we mean by that. But in any case, that would mean it's the rabbanan. If it's the rabbanan, it's a lot easier to understand. You say the rabbi has decided that if it happens to a hunter or a fisherman, that's okay. But, and we'll get to that. In any case, Rav Uziel says, it shows that there is a prohibition of regularly doing business with something that is prohibited in the Torah. Then he says, but I saw that there's a tshuva in Chavot Yair in 142. I looked it up, it's very long, so we don't have time to deal with it today. He's going to deal with some pieces of it. Those who want to look up the Chavot Yair should feel free to do so. And it's going to be, to me, interesting to watch Rav Uziel feel comfortable disagreeing with the Chavot Yair, because Chavot Yair lived hundreds of years before and was a tremendous posek, a well-known Baal Meshiv, a very well-known respondent, and yet he's going to say, I disagree with him. So here, Chavot Yair had said, he thought that this prohibition of schora of business only applied to shkatzim or masim. It only applied to the vermin, to lice and vermin and creepy crawly ants and things like that. Vaziel says, I don't think you can say that, because first of all, there's no reason to separate them. So Chavos Yair had thought to say, maybe there's a difference between what's called having a sha'ata kosher and not having a sha'ata kosher. Having a sha'ata kosher means there are materials that could have been kosher, could have been acceptable, could have been usable. So sha'ata kosher doesn't mean a time of kosher, of being kosher. Sha'ata kosher means a time of being usable. So that's where we get the word kosher from, maybe, but it's a sha'ata kosher, olav. And so shkatzim or masim, bugs and vermin are never possibly kosher, whereas animals that just didn't get a proper shrita, either they died or because they became a trefa before they were killed, so those had a shata kosher. So maybe you could have said, things that once had a shata kosher, they're not completely irrelevant to Jews, and therefore maybe Jews can do skorak and do business with them. But Ruziel says, doesn't make sense, because the whole point of the prohibition is that anything that's asur ba'achila min ha-Torah, anything that we're not allowed to eat, is also mishukatz gam l'schora. So Ruziel is understanding the prohibition to be that if we're not allowed to eat it, we're supposed to turn ourselves away from it and see it as not being something that we want to be involved with in terms of doing businesses in it. And not only that, he says, and this one, I really would have liked to have had the time to look back at the Chavos Yair, because then he points out the Mishnah in Shvit that he quoted says specifically, Midnan, it says in the Mishnah, Ein osin schora, you can't do business, bepirot shvi'it, and it goes on, and it's a list of things that we can't do business in. It says, Nevelot u'trefot, explicitly, as well as shkatzim u'remasim. And not only that, it doesn't include them in the same phrase. It says, velo b'nevelot u'trefot, velo b'shkatzim u'remasim. So Rav Uziel says, it sounds like, therefore, the Mishnah is saying, not only nevelot u'trefot, which people have around them all the time, and therefore you might have thought the prohibition was because we'll be led to eat them, ela af b'shkatzim, but even in in insects and bugs that we never would think to eat. Nonetheless, the Torah said you can't do business in them because anything you can't eat, you can't do business with. So that sounds like it was more obvious to the Gemara that we wouldn't be allowed to do business with animals that were did not receive a kosher slaughter. And so therefore, the Chavos Yair's Chiluk, Chavos Yair's attempt to say that, to limit it to bugs, to vermin, does not seem to work. Ruzios also points out that Tosos thought that this prohibition applied not only to my having the material and then selling it, but even if somebody else has it and I buy it from them and sell it for more, meaning I become a middleman on bugs or a middleman on nevelot, that that's also a prohibition. Tosos throws in already a pasuk we're going to have to come back to and think about, because the pasuk did actually say in terms of nevelot, o machor lenochri, or sell it to a non-Jew, which sounds like you can sell it, so we'll come back to that in a little bit. But the Chavos Yair had wondered about Tosfot because he didn't understand where there's a prohibition of doing business with Nevelot, with animals that didn't receive proper slaughter from the Torah. He says it's clearly a Drabbanan. The Chavos Yair says it's clearly a Drabbanan. So if it's Drabbanan, then there's all sorts of exceptions that the rabbis could have made in it. And also, he says, even if it's Minat Torah, what about Omachor Lenachri? So that the Chavos Yair suggests that it must mean that if somebody has a nevela happen to them, meaning I'm in the house and an animal dies and I didn't do anything to purchase it or to get it, the other Torah said, O machor lanochri, and then that should theoretically apply to tmeim in general, to things that are prohibited to us, that we should be allowed to say it, to sell it. So Rav Uziel says that he thinks the answer to that question is that Tosos are saying that the Mishnah just sounds like Shkatzim and Remasim, the bugs and the vermin and the Velo de Trefot and the animals that didn't get a proper slaughter. Chad Dina Itlehu. They have one din. What's the din in terms of Schora? That you can't sell them, you can't do business with them, and business would mean both having them originally somehow and then selling them, or becoming a middleman and selling them for a profit. And that Tosos thinks, Rav Uziel says, that that is a Torah prohibition. So when a Chavos Yair says, what about the pasuk of Am O Machor LaNochri, or you can sell it to a Nochri, that so the Rav Uziel says he thinks that's when it's a Nevelash Biyadayim. That's when it became a Nevela at my hands. Meaning, if I own a bunch of cows and a cow dies, Rav Uziel is going to say, I don't think that's what we mean by O Machor LaNochri, that I'm allowed to sell it to Nochri. I think what the Torah means by O Machor LaNochri, that I can sell it to a non-Jew, is Kigon Sheshachata Shelo Karaui. It's that we were trying to do a shkita on it, and the shkita went wrong, it went bad. And the Rambam tells us that anything that where you try to do a shkita and it goes bad, that becomes a nevela. And you learn it from whatever it is, but that would be where the Torah would say, if you were trying to shechta an animal and it went bad, you could do that. But that's not business, that's not doing business in nevela, the Rav Uziel would point out, because I didn't want it to become a nevela. Meaning, if I have a flock of cows, and I say to myself, any of the cows that die naturally, I'm going to sell. So that's sort of a part of my business model of my farming of my cows, of my growing flocks of cows. But if I'm planning on shechting an animal, and then the shechita goes wrong, so you never want a shechita to go wrong, because when you're shechting an animal, you're hoping to get kosher meat out of it, and kosher meat is more expensive than non-kosher meat, and so you're certainly not hoping for it to go wrong. So there, the Torah allowed us to sell that resulting animal to the non-Jews. That's the way Rav Uziel is understanding what the Rambam says and what that pasuk of Omachor Lanochri means. For Rav Uziel, that shows also that it can't be that the Isser of Schora, as some suggested, the prohibition of doing business, is if you do business regularly, you become a seller of whatever it is, a nevelot, of shefot, of bugs, of shvit, whatever it is. That's the only prohibition. But if I do it occasionally, then I'm okay, because that's not what Olam Achor LaNachri allows. So, and he points out that Tosfos talks about some of this, and Tosfos says that even if somebody's not a regular merchant, but they one time buy from a friend and they sell it to somebody else to make a little bit more, so that's also called schora, and that's also called business, and that's also not allowed. Meaning, let's say somebody has a bunch of nevelot, and they're not supposed to be doing business with them, but I'm going to a place where I know that I can sell a nevela easily and for more money than this guy is going to get for it. So I say, I'll pay you this and I'll get that. So that's not me becoming a merchant of non-kosher animals. It's one time this, and you might have thought it was okay. And that's what they're saying. No, that also is not okay. So to conclude this section of the discussion, as Rav Uziel does, the Mishnah and the Tosfos show that when it comes to non-kosher, to the animals that have not been properly slaughtered, either because they became a nevela, and that's in one of two ways, they die naturally, or they die without any without any involvement of a human being, of a Jewish human being, or the Jewish human being who's trying to shech them, who's trying to slaughter them kosher in the proper kosher way, fails to do so, and therefore they become a nevela. Those are the nevelot and trefot, animals that got some kind of a physical wound that was going to kill them before they got slaughtered. In both those kinds of animals, there's a prohibition of doing business. Okay, we can't do business with them and other things as well. And the Bach says that when we say that you're allowed to sometimes sell a nevela, like we said, the nevela that happened in one's house, he says that's only lefishinis damla nolo, it just happened, and that's a way of protecting the Jew from loss. But another Jew can't buy it for the purpose of selling it. And the Maaseis Binyamin had said, it was an important, well-known book of Tshuvot, he said that you're not allowed to kill animals without shechita, animals that could theoretically be shechted, that could have been theoretically been slaughtered to be kosher animals. One is not allowed to slaughter them in a non-kosher way, and the point is that one wants to sell their hides. So I might have thought that since I'm only selling their hides, that's not food. We're going to come back to that because Ruziel is going to come back to that idea. I might have thought that since I'm not selling them other than for their hides, that it doesn't matter that they're a nevela, they're a non-kosher, I've made them non-kosher in the way that they were slaughtered. The Maaseis Binyamin said he doesn't think that's true, that if you make a nevela with your hands, you can't do sechora with it. So there it's the person having chosen to make a nevela that seems to be the problem. Okay? So if that's true, you might say, then why do I need a pasuk, a verse telling me that I'm allowed to sell it to a non-Jew? Because after all, if what we're saying is the rule always was that if it just happens to you, you are allowed to sell it, then I don't need a pasuk. So Rav Uziel says that pasuk was really there, mostly because the prior phrase of that pasuk was to give it to a ger, to give it to a person who's living among us, a non-Jew who's living among us and is accepted part of our worldview. The giving it to the ger is preferable, even though you will get less money out of it, it's preferable to selling it to a non-Jew, and that's the point of that pasuk. But in fact, we could have known on our own that those things that just happen to us, we stumble across these situations, we're going to lose money unless we sell them, that's not considered schor, it's not considered doing business to them, it's considered protecting ourselves from loss, and that clearly was going to be allowed. Then Rav Uziel points out that the note of Yehuda had assumed, based on the difference in the two Talmudic discussions based on the difference in the Tosos and what he understood the Gemara to be talking about as to whether or not these verses were quoted as the source, as the actual source for these ideas, or they were quoted as an asmakta, they were quoted just as a sort of a way to support a rabbinic idea and give it some rabbinic sense, but that the pasuk is not actually what teaches this rule. The Tosfos had said and therefore the note of Yehuda had assumed that even Tosfot agree, for all that their language sounds differently, even Tosfot agree that this whole prohibition is rabbinic and not biblical. So if it's rabbinic, there's a lot more room for suggesting or arguing that the rabbi is meant to include and prohibit only X and not Y. But Rav Uziel says, I don't understand that. If you look at the Tosfot, you see very clearly that it's d'oraita. And most of the Rishonim, he says, you don't know whether it's d'oraita or d'rabbanan. It's not clear in the Rambam, it's not clear in the Shulchan Aruch whether this is a prohibition at the Torah level or at the rabbinic level, as Tosfos Yom Tov had also agreed. And then there's others who suggested that they could prove that the Rambam held that it was d'oraita, but Rav Uziel says, I don't think it's true that you can prove that it's d'oraita from that language, and therefore it's not clear. That not being clear, so then we're left not knowing whether this is a Torah prohibition or a rabbinic prohibition, but we know that there's a prohibition to do business in items that are prohibited for Jews to eat. Now, if it's a Torah prohibition, you have to add one more piece to it, because if it's a Torah prohibition, then we would need need a source to say that, let's say, you know, hunters, as we said before, hunters who stumble across, or fishermen who get non-kosher fish in their nets, along with the kosher fish, or not, but that it's not their practice that those they can sell to non-Jews. If it's really Torah prohibition to sell these items, that's not so obvious, it's not so clear that one is allowed to do that. So there, Rav Uziel points out, this would be an example then, and we have many other examples of this. This would be an example where the Torah defined a prohibition but left it to Chazal to give its exact parameters. You have a couple of examples like this in Halacha. What is and is not allowed in Chol HaMoed, for example, is one good example of it, where There are Rishonim who held that the Torah, the prohibition of doing malacha, of work, of doing creative labors on Chol HaMoed, is a Torah prohibition, but that the Torah gave the right to Chazal to define it more accurate, more specifically, and they allowed all sorts of things that are the sources for our allowing ourselves to do whatever it is we do and don't do on Chol HaMoed. This would be another example then of that, according to Rav Uziel, that the prohibition of doing business with items that are prohibited for Jews to eat would be definable by Chazal. And Chazal said that when it comes to hunters and fishermen whose livelihood is tied up in gathering all these items and being able to do business even in the ones that just they happen to stumble across but they weren't looking for, that would be in the power of Chazal to define. Sum total, when it comes to this man who's going to do business with these hot dogs or these intestines of these animals, then you'd have a problem because there is a prohibition of doing business with items that are prohibited to Jews. However, we just spent a second talking about the fact that hunters are different. So Rav Uziel comes back to that. Now he says we have this mission that says people who... So we have these hunters and these fishermen who have the right to sell it, so maybe this guy should be like that because isn't he just coming across it? Right? Rav Yehuda says, Af mi shehit manelo lefi darko lokeh v'macher. If you just stumble across something, if you're not a hunter, you're allowed to pick something up that you just came across, right? Let's say I'm walking on the road and I see a dead, fox, and I know that people like fox, and so I can pick it up. Whereas Chachamim say that it's us. The Rash explaining that says they only allowed it for tzayadim kfuim, for regular hunters, and the reason is, he says, because the Yerushalmi says that hamalchut oneset v'gova mehem misim. The people who are in this profession have to pay a certain tax or a licensing fee, basically, and they have to pay that no matter what. So if we don't allow them to sell these animals or these fish or these birds that they come across, they will end up losing money. But other people who just come across it, they're not going to lose money by virtue of ignoring this prohibited item, and therefore they should not be allowed. That's what Chacham held. They're not allowed to do business in these things, even though it'd be a good way to make a lot of money. It doesn't matter because they're not losing any money. And that's what the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch said. And they said very carefully that it's a tzayad. It's a hunter. Right. So if that's true, when it comes to a Jewish butcher, right, which is like our situation, where he buys all of the intestines, so maybe it should be like Nizdam Nulo and should be Mutter, right? It should be maybe the same thing as the hunter, meaning the fisherman puts a big net in the ocean, gets out 1,000 kosher fish and 20 non-kosher fish, and we're saying they're allowed to sell the non-kosher fish to those who can use them also so that they can make a living. Maybe this guy's going to buy all the intestines. He doesn't know many of these intestines will be from kosher animals. Some will have to be for non-kosher, but they'll have to sell for non-kosher hot dog. Maybe that should be the same thing. However, the Ramah, Menachem Azayim Bifano, has a tshuva where he says that if it's done in a business form, then it's going to be prohibited, meaning the hunter or the fisherman gets them himself. He gets the non-kosher animals in the course of plying his trade. But this Jew is buying these materials. He said, once you're buying the materials, you cannot be considered a hunter or a fisherman in these kinds of ways. Rav Uziel thinks that that makes sense. That's only when they were hunting, because he has no choice, he has no ability to do otherwise. Whereas, when it comes to buying, theoretically at least, not clear that that's true in a practical business sense, but at least theoretically, that you could say to this factory, listen, I only want to buy the intestines of the kosher animal, not the non-kosher. Now, it could be they will turn them down, it could be they will charge them more, but there's something you could do. Whereas when it comes to a hunter or a fisherman, there's nothing they can really do, because you can't stop the net from picking up the non-kosher animals. And therefore, that does not seem to think, right, does not seem to be the way that we're going to get around our problems. But since Rav Uziel is certainly a meshiv, a respondent who very much seeks the ways of heter, finding a way to make something is allowed, he says that this prohibition of buying prohibited materials among the kosher materials is only when you're buying it when it's right there. It's actually be'en. But if you're buying a bunch of intestines that are going to be shechted, right? You're making a contract now that I will take from you, butcher, all these intestines. So at the time that I'm doing it, it's not clear, meaning it could be that all of the animals will be kosher that time. and then I'll only be buying kosher. So Rav Uziel thinks that that might make it better, because then maybe it's more like a hunter. I'm going out to get intestines, and among the intestines I'm going to be ended up with ones that are not kosher. So Rav Uziel thinks that might be there might be room to say that that helps also. But then he goes for his real avenue of permissibility. He points out that the Shulchan Aruch rules that when we say kol davar she'asur min haTorah, something that's prohibited from the Torah, that you're not allowed to do business with it, the Shulchan Aruch adds in the important words, im hu davar hamiyuchad lema'achal, if it's something that is generally eaten, that its purpose is to be eaten. So it sounds like if it's not something that's eaten, even though it could be eaten, then the business prohibition doesn't apply. And that's what the Tosfos originally said, that when it's usher midaraita, the Torah prohibition was to make a profit and benefit of selling something to a non-Jew to eat it. But if, for example, I was going to sell him an oil or a leather or a hide, that would seem to be not a problem. Now, you remember we said that the Masid Binyamin said you can't make something in a veil to sell their hides. It seems like it's not because selling hides is a problem. It's because that Jew is on purpose turning the animal into a nevela so that he can do business with a nevela. That would be the problem. But if I'm going to be buying things that are just never eaten, that would seem to be okay. And that's what the Rav Uziel is going to take it. So in other words, and then I could sell it even if people are going to eat it, because the Torah only prohibited that which is miyuchad la'achila. Now that's a huge jump, meaning it's one thing to say hides people don't eat and therefore I can do business with them even though they're not from non-kosher animals. Sorry, I had to pause for a second, but now, so you might have thought that hides you can sell because they're not ever eaten, but Rav Uziel is taking it a step further and thinking it has to be miyuchad la'achila. It has to be something that is set aside to be eaten. So so for example, if somebody sells a donkey or a camel for the purpose of eating it, that wouldn't be allowed, even though it's not miyuchad la'achila. But then the Rashba says that it's rov tashmishan, if most of what they're done with is for eating. And therefore, when the Shulchan Aruch says miyuchad la'achal adam, it's to say that if most of what it's used for is not to be eaten. So that's going to be the standard we're going to use. I'm selling something. So hides should also be fine. So if somebody says, I want to go into a leather business, and they're going to take hides from non-kosher animals, that seems to be fine, because hides are definitely not generally eaten, the hides of these animals. Or something that you sell specifically not to be eaten, like a donkey or a camel, where you're selling it to do work, to, you know, to bear loads and to be an animal of transport. But something that's made for people to eat it, even if you sell it for the purpose of eating it, right? Meaning, if I can sell a donkey or a camel as a pack animal, not to eat it, even though it's prohibited to be eaten, so that might sound like I'm allowed to sell things, and as long as I say, and this is not to eat it, it should be okay. So what if I took non-kosher meat and I sold it specifically for the purpose of some other purpose, right? Somebody's going to use it for some other reason. I'm going to sell it to somebody so they can use it as a compress on a black eye. So the Rizal says, no, that doesn't work. And that doesn't work because that's a davar hamiyuchad lemachal. That's something that's eaten. It's generally, it's majority time eaten. And therefore, I'm not allowed to sell those kinds of things. How does that help us here? It helps us here because, as I said at the outset, these intestines aren't being used to be eaten. They're not going to be turned themselves into hot dogs. They're going to be dried out and then used as the cases. They're going to be dried out and cleaned out carefully and then used as the casing for the hot dogs. But as casing for the hot dogs, they're not something that's eaten. They're not majority eaten. They're not generally eaten. And therefore, since they're not generally eaten, they're not majority eaten, that would seem to be all right. So Mikol Tami Melu closes Rav Uziel. From all these reasons, it seems that the Jew can do business with these intestines as long as they've already been dried out in order to make them into hot dog casings, because the Torah, when it prohibited doing business with things that are prohibited to eat for Jews, that applied to things that are especially for the purpose of eating, or the person selling them intends for them, or the person buying them intends to eat them. We know that. But something that is no longer edible, really, and it's not jelly eaten, and it's not being sold for the purpose of eating, there he thinks it's okay. So we end up with an important reminder that there is, according to Rav Uziel, a prohibition. Rav Uziel thinks it's a Torah prohibition. Others are a rabbinic prohibition, but there's certainly a prohibition as to